everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you here today, as always, on the show. This show is really dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the best decisions regarding your health and well-being. And each week I have very compelling guests on who are really dedicated to helping all of us get healthier and to get the knowledge that will support us on our journey to health and well-being. If you are listening for the very first time, I want to welcome you. I hope you'll be coming back every week. And if you'd like to get the archived shows, because all of these shows are archived, so you can listen to them at your convenience, you can do that either by going to my website, Dr. Cheryl Selman. I have the shows listed there, or better yet, just opt in and they'll get sent to you, into your inbox, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, and you can just see them posted there. Just like me there, and they'll be posted every week. And by the way, I have another show on Progressive Radio Network every Saturday at 11 a.m. called The Love Code. So if you opt in, you'll be able to get both of my programs and really just continue on this journey of greater self-empowerment, spiritual upliftment. That's the Love Code has that spiritual focus to really uplift and support you to stay connected to your soul, to the power you have within you to heal, transform your life. So both shows go together. They're kind of a really nice package, actually, and I hope you'll be listening every week because I promise you the guests I have and the information they're sharing and the inspiration that we're communicating is all designed to support you in uplifting all aspects of your life. So, having said all of that, I wanted to introduce you to my guest today. We're going to be talking about healing the thyroid gland. You're going to learn about the thyroid, what's really going on with the thyroid, and what are some of the practical things you can do to support to optimize the health of your thyroid. And my guest today is Dr. Eric Balkovich. I know I just said that wrong. So, Eric, you please correct me. But before we get into that, I just want to share a little bit about Eric. He is the owner and founder of Rejuvigen, a functional medicine clinic in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. He is nationally recognized speaker and educator on various health-related topics, including thyroid physiology, biophysiology, detoxification, oxidative stress, methylation, and chronic illness. He has been in private practice in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania since 1996, and he is a certified nutrition specialist, a certified functional medicine practitioner, board certified in integrative medicine, along with being a licensed chiropractor in Pennsylvania. He is also the co-host of Thyroid Answers podcast. The podcast focuses on answering the pressing questions from those suffering with chronic hypothyroid symptoms who can't get answers anywhere else. So it's my great privilege and honor to welcome Dr. Eric to the show today. So Eric, please say your name correctly. I know I asked you this before we began, and then I lost it.
It's Balkovich.
Balkovich, thank you.
Yep. And I've been called much worse than what you did, so that's fine.
Oh, that helps me a little bit. So, Eric, you have quite an extensive background in health and healing. Obviously, you have really immersed yourself in this modality and in this healing journey. And so I'm curious, why is thyroid your focus these days?
Well, I got into thyroid care by accident. I had a family member who was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, and I was asked to help them. And at that point in time, I didn't know anything about thyroid physiology. I mean, I went to undergrad and I was a medical technologist, so we did all, you know, I studied blood work and lab work, and I knew the ins and outs of lab work, but I really didn't know anything about thyroid physiology more than the basic stuff we learned in school. But when a family member is diagnosed and you're being asked for help, then you kind of kick into gear and you start studying and researching the physiology. And the more I studied and learned about thyroid physiology, I had some great mentors, Dennis Karazian and a number of other people that I initially learned a lot of the thyroid physiology from. You start to realize that how that family member is being treated isn't necessarily in line with what some of the literature, the current literature is showing. And so we wanted to find a way to help her that didn't revolve around, maybe a lifetime of medications, or what we wanted to do is really identify why this occurred and see if we could reduce or remove the triggers of what drove the thyroid condition, which turned out to be a Hashimoto's thyroiditis that drove the hypothyroidism. We wanted to get to those root cause issues, address those as much as possible. And in the process of addressing those issues, we start to improve her health, her well-being. But, I thought it was a one-off thing. But as I started talking to my chiropractic patients about what I was learning about thyroid physiology, I started to get an education on how many people actually were struggling with thyroid problems. I had a lot of my female patients who had already been diagnosed with hypothyroidism were already on medications. And even some of my male patients, which was unusual to me, were diagnosed hypothyroid on medications. And uniformly, I would talk to those patients and ask them how their care was going, and the vast majority of them complained about persistent symptoms. So I really wanted to dig in a little bit deeper and understand the complexity of thyroid physiology and why, what was triggering Hashimoto's, what was triggering this autoimmune attack on the gland. I wanted to learn why people could experience hypothyroid symptoms despite normal TSH. So they're symptomatic, but their doctor is telling them there's no thyroid problem because their TSH was normal. And then I wanted to understand why somebody who was diagnosed as hypothyroid, put on thyroid hormone replacement therapy, still had persistent hypothyroid symptoms. So I needed to get those answers. And probably the most troubling of all of the problems that, as I talked to people, were the people who said, I've been diagnosed with hypothyroid. I've been put on thyroid hormone medications. And when I'm put on thyroid hormone medication, I actually feel worse. And so they were clearly hypothyroid based on their labs, but the thyroid hormone actually made them feel worse. And we needed to find, answers for those people as well. So, as I do with most things, I always want to understand the science and the mechanism. And so I took a deep dive into thyroid physiology. And as I'm learning that and I'm learning about genetics, so that took me on a tangent, and I learned and got deep into genetics and methylation and then into biophysiology. So one thing led to the other. And how do you get into all those different things is because thyroid physiology touches every cell and tissue in the body. It affects every system in the body. And so you wind up as somebody who's trying to help those with thyroid physiology problems, you have to understand how thyroid physiology works in multiple tissues to really understand what's going on.
And isn't that truth? I mean, our bodies can, everything is connected to everything. So you, mm-hmm. unlike the approach in the allopathic model where you just go in, see your endocrinologist and he tests your thyroid and gives you a medication, in all other holistic modalities, you have to understand the whole to address and resolve a problem. So I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis many years ago, probably 20 years ago. I'm sure I had it much earlier than that. I went through periods of depression. I went through periods of weight gain. I never understood it. And then I got diagnosed. And when I did get the diagnosis, which was about probably 20 or more years ago, I chose not to take the thyroid meds, which is what was being offered, but to dive deep and to see what was going on and driving this condition. And it always perplexes me, Eric, when I hear people who've been diagnosed with thyroid issues and just put on TSH. No investigation as to why this gland is not functioning properly, what's driving it. Let's look deeper into some of the other issues that contribute to an autoimmune problem, which is never really looked at in any blood workup. I never understood it, and
Well, there's a good reason.
You can't really get healthy, right? If you just put on this meds, and you never, the problem is not there, and the underlying issues do not go away.
Right, and so the issue is that we have to understand, because I was very against the allopathic model early on and saying, how could you not look at this? How come we're not looking for cause? It's just not the model.
Right.
The model is really set up. Medicine is really set up and is really, really good at acute care and trauma type care, right? You're bleeding out. You need treatment. You need emergency care. You want to see your medical doctor. You probably don't need to go see your functional medicine doctor at that point in time. When the thyroid gland is diseased and it can't make enough thyroid hormone and you're in severe hypothyroidism or you're in severe hyperthyroidism and you're in crisis, medicine can provide treatment that can shut that process, you know, shut down the hyperthyroidism or support thyroid hormone in an emergency to bring the body back online. But that's the goal. Right? That it's emergency acute care medicine. We've made the mistake over years assuming that acute care medicine was a way to maintain health. Acute care medicine isn't a way to maintain health. Acute care medicine is what it is. It's short-term crisis care. And then what we're supposed to do and what we've really gotten away from doing is doing exactly what you said, is identifying why the physiology is broken down and addressing the root cause issues. And if we address the root cause issues, then there's less need for crisis care. So I think allopathic medicine is doing what its role is. And to ask allopathic medicine to do something else would mean for them to change their paradigm. And I don't see that that's going to happen anytime soon.
Wow.
So that's where functional medicine shines. That's where, you know, functional medicine, functional nutrition is all about trying to identify root causes of dysfunction and disease, and eliminate or reduce the stressors that are driving it as much as possible, and then support the rebuild, the regeneration of the cells, the tissues, and the systems so that we can optimize our health. But they're two different things. And so that's one of those things we need to keep in mind when we're looking at, well, why doesn't allopathic medicine do this if that's not their role? And if we wonder why does functional medicine look at a thyroid panel is a great example of that. Why is conventional medicine, allopathic medicine, only look at TSH and maybe a free T4? Because that's all they need in their model. Why does a functional medicine practitioner maybe look at TSH and T4 and free T4 and T3 and free T3 and reverse T3 and T3 uptake and thyroid antibodies? Why do they look at all of that? Because that's their model. To look at function within the cell, function within the body, you need to look at a broader picture. If your only role is to normalize the TSH and your only treatment is thyroid medication, then you only need to run limited panels and all the other stuff is not needed. So it really goes to what the role or the paradigm of the type of medicine you're going to, whatever their role or whatever that paradigm is, that's what they're going to do. And so we can't expect them to do something else. It would be like asking a plumber to run your electric in your house. You know,
right.
That's not what they do.
So let's start here. First of all, let's start at the very beginning and explain what is the thyroid gland and its functions in the body.
So most importantly, thyroid hormone is the primary regulator of metabolism in the body. I guess you could consider it like the gas in the car. It really drives the metabolism of the cells in the body. So every cell in the body has receptors for thyroid hormone. Okay. Thyroid hormone is produced by a little butterfly-shaped gland in your neck. It's called your thyroid gland. So when the nervous system in the body gets signals that it's hot, that it's cold, that you just ate, that it needs to for some reason either increase or decrease metabolism, signals are sent to the brain, an area in the brain called the hypothalamus. It kind of integrates all these incoming signals, And if more thyroid hormone is needed, it releases a hormone called thyrotropin-releasing hormone, TRH. That goes to an area in another gland in the brain called your pituitary gland, which produces something called TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone. And almost everybody who gets some assessment of their thyroid system done will have had a TSH test done in their life. And then TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone, is what goes to the thyroid gland and signals the thyroid gland machinery to increase production of thyroid hormone. And the two primary hormones that are made by that thyroid gland are called T4 and T3. So thyroxine and triiodothyronine. So let's just call them T4 and T3 to keep it simple. The thyroid gland does make other thyroid hormones. It does make other hormones, but those are the two primary hormones, thyroid hormones that are made by the thyroid gland. Once those thyroid hormones are produced, they're released into the bloodstream, and the thyroid hormone binds to little taxi cabs, and that thyroid hormone is transported through the blood to all the cells and tissues of the body. When the thyroid hormone finds a cell or tissue that needs more thyroid hormone, it comes out of the taxi cab or off these what we call binding proteins. It is actively transported into cells. And the primary hormone that's actually floating around the bloodstream is the T4. That T4, once it's inside the cell, can be either converted to T3, which is the active hormone in the body. That T3 binds to receptors and turns on the machinery to increase your metabolism. The T4 inside the cell could also be deactivated. If the cell does not want to increase its metabolism, it converts the T4 to a less active form called reverse T3. And so the thyroid gland is the gland that makes and houses large amounts of thyroid hormone. And then on a regular basis, it releases it into the bloodstream. And then the blood circulates thyroid hormone around the body on a constant basis so that cells and tissues, when they need more thyroid hormone, they can pull it in based on their need, and they can regulate their own metabolism. And that system works really well because that way, if your muscle tissues need to increase their metabolism so you can go chase something or go for a run, the muscle metabolism can be upregulated, but your GI tract can regulate its own metabolism. It's not going to be super active during that time you're running. It's going to be calmed down. So the thyroid hormone in your GI tract can be slowed down or deactivated. So the gland makes the thyroid hormone, but it's the individual cells and tissues that ultimately control and manage thyroid hormones at a tissue level.
Okay, so that was great, great explanation of what the thyroid is. What I'm curious about is what's the connection with thyroid function and depression, hair loss, risk of cardiovascular disease. There's so many problems associated if your thyroid is not functioning optimally.
Well, I think what we have to do is, before we even jump into that, probably the thing to talk about is thyroid dysfunction, right? And so anytime there's lack of thyroid hormone getting to, say, your GI tract, it may result in decreased GI function. If there's decreased thyroid hormone getting to your liver, you may have developed fatty liver disease. If you have decreased thyroid hormone getting to your muscle tissues, you might start to develop diabetes. If you have decreased thyroid hormone getting to your cardiovascular system, you may have cardiovascular disease. So thyroid hormone plays a role or supports nearly every cell, tissue, and organ in the body. So we have to have it there. If there's insufficient thyroid hormone getting to different cells and tissues, that is going to result in reduced function of that cell or tissue, and it's going to manifest at some point as some type of symptom, right? The things you're talking about, depression, maybe constipation, low libido, dry skin, thinning hair. What didn't we say? Low energy, blood sugar dysregulation, high cholesterol, cardiovascular disease. So it can be it can have a hand in causing all those symptoms. Why? Because every tissue, cardiovascular system, digestive system, hormone control, uterus, all these tissues and every system requires thyroid hormone for that tissue and that system to function appropriately. So anytime there's decreased thyroid hormone reaching the receptors inside cells, somebody's going to start to eventually develop hypothyroid symptoms. And based on which cell and tissue has reduced thyroid hormone reaching it, those are the tissues that are going to be affected. So you could have your pancreas still getting plenty of thyroid hormone, therefore the pancreas works, but your muscle tissue may not be getting sufficient thyroid hormone, and therefore you may have insulin resistance in those tissues and your blood sugar may go up. So what might cause there to be lack of thyroid hormone in the body, a condition called hypothyroidism? There's, when we look at hypothyroidism, which is the lack of thyroid hormone impacting, there's less insufficient thyroid hormone impacting the tissues. So we have these symptoms, we have these signs and symptoms that the body's not functioning well. There's two types of hypothyroidism from my perspective. One is what we call glandular hypothyroidism. The thyroid gland is just not making enough thyroid hormone. And in that situation, if the thyroid gland isn't making enough T4 and T3, then there's not enough T4 and T3 in the blood, and therefore there will be insufficient thyroid hormone getting into the cells, and therefore there will be decreased T4, T3 reaching the receptors in the cells. In time, every cell, every tissue in the body is going to be affected by that. So anytime you have decreased production by the gland, you're ultimately going to have decreased thyroid hormone in the cells, a condition we call cellular hypothyroidism, and that's going to result in symptoms. And this is the model that kind of allopathic model medicine functions in. I would think if you asked almost any medical doctor what causes hypothyroid symptoms, they would probably say there's not enough thyroid hormone in the system. But it's not that it's not enough thyroid hormone in the system, it's about how much thyroid hormone is getting to the cells. And so is it possible that you could have a gland that's functioning properly, but still not enough thyroid hormone reaching the tissue? And the easy answer for that is obviously you could, right? Just like you could, if you have a full tank of gas in your car, is it possible that the car may not run, right? Obviously, right. If you don't have a key to start it, if you don't have oil, if the gas lines are clogged, if the fuel filter is bad, if the alternator is bad, there's lots of reasons that you could have a car that doesn't start or doesn't run despite having a full tank of gas. And that's pretty similar to our body. Now, if the gas tank's empty and there's no gas in the car, that car's not going to run, right? So empty gas tank would be similar to primary glandular hypothyroidism in the body. The thyroid gland can't make thyroid hormone, therefore there's not enough in the blood, therefore there's not enough in the tissue, therefore we have a systemic case of hypothyroidism. All the cells and tissues are impacted. But for a lot of people, and I think cellular hypothyroidism occurs long before somebody develops Hashimoto's or glandular dysfunction, something impacts the ability of T3 to bind to the receptors. And it may be that the gland's working, but something is preventing the thyroid hormone from getting into the cells, or once that thyroid hormone is getting into the cells, that thyroid hormone's being deactivated versus activated, and therefore there isn't enough T3 inside the cells to support metabolism, and somebody's gonna have hypothyroid symptoms. Now, in cases of glandular hypothyroidism, we, especially in allopathic medicine, we're looking at really one test to evaluate thyroid physiology in the whole body. It's called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And in allopathic medicine, it is often thought that TSH is the one and only test that is needed to evaluate thyroid physiology in the body. Now, current science shows us that that's not necessarily the case. You could have a normal TSH and have perfectly normal thyroid function in the body. But you could also have a totally normal TSH and have cellular hypothyroidism occurring in multiple tissues, resulting in lots of different symptoms. So medical doctors will take a look at TSH. If it's in range, you do not have a glandular thyroid problem, at least not at the moment. You may be symptomatic, but according to allopathic medicine, until TSH rises above the predetermined reference range, lab range, there's no hypothyroid condition. In functional medicine, we look at that a little bit differently. We would say, if you're tired, fatigued, low energy, low libido, gaining weight, always hungry, you got your skin's dry, hair's falling out, those are all classic hypothyroid symptoms. And because you have all those classic hypothyroid symptoms, there's a good chance there's some level of hypothyroidism. Now, what our job as the physician is to help you understand, is this a local cellular issue? Or has this become a glandular issue as well? And in most cases, it's both. They'll start with cellular hypothyroidism, then they'll start into the autoimmune process, and then eventually, after days, weeks, months, or years of that autoimmune attack, they're going to eventually develop primary hypothyroidism. So I may have gotten off target, but you can get me back on.
Well, there's just so much to really understand, because thyroid problems are really epidemic in our culture. I would say, you know, kind of the Western world. I mean, I see it, and the primary cause of thyroid dysfunction actually has to do with an autoimmune component, which we can get into in a minute. But there are just so many issues, you know, from everything that's plaguing people, as you were saying, the depression, the fatigue, the weight gain. Then you have all these other compromised functions. Your cholesterol could be high. And you know, it affects women's hormonal balance. It can lead to more estrogen dominant problems, more risk of fibroids. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We live in a culture that really is anti-thyroid in its nature. I mean, fluoride in the water can damage the thyroid. EMFs can damage the thyroid. I mean, we're struggling on so many levels. So we need to understand this conversation, because it's so important. Having had, or you know, it's probably still a vulnerability that I have. So I have to really make sure that I stay on point with my diet and lifestyle and all the things that I do to ensure that my tendency to have this effect of an autoimmune condition showing up in my thyroid to be, you know, to be kept in check, if not totally healed. And I wanted to say one more thing, and then you can just jump in and we can continue the conversation. If someone is diagnosed with a TSH that has a thyroid issue, because they exhibit all the symptoms and their blood test may show that they are above normal range, but even the blood test range for TSH is excessive, normal range is much higher than what I'm sure as a functional medicine doctor you would want and as a naturopath I would want. But if the thyroid is not working, it's not just slapping a Band-Aid on it. It's looking at, well, what's driving it? Is it a deficiency of iodine, a deficiency of other key amino acids like tyrosine? Is it because you're drinking too much fluoridated water? You know, could it be that you do have digestive issues? So the point is, if you don't address the underlying drivers, even though you're put on the thyroid hormone, which is usually Synthroid, some variation of Synthroid, you're not addressing the conditions that are still existing and ultimately will be contributing to more serious problems down the track. That's the point I want to make.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But if you're the regular person, right, and you're tired, fatigued, and you think you have a hypothyroid condition, and you go into your medical doctor's office, and they test you, and they say your TSH is high, your T4 is low, you're hypothyroid, and you ask, why is this occurring? Your medical doctor I would say the vast majority of medical doctors don't have the training to help you understand the why or the cause or to help you address it. That's not their specialty, right? They've been trained, yeah. And there's about 5-6 sets of guidelines that they're trained or that they get, and there's recommendations of how to treat. But doctors have been taught that the only thing they need to do is to look at TSH. If it's elevated high, then you probably have a hypothyroid condition. You now test free T4. So the test is called a TSH with reflex to T4. That's what your doctor will run. And if TSH is high and free T4 is low, then they're going to put you on thyroid hormone medication. And if you're the layperson and you ask your doctor, but why is this happening, you're going to get a number of answers. And they're going to be answers like it's idiopathic, which means in medical doctor terms, we don't know, right? It just occurs. Some will tell you, some who maybe have who paid attention in school will say, hey, the most common cause is an autoimmune condition. If you live in the United States, that's probably the most common condition is an autoimmune condition. And the immune system attacks or damages the immune system. Most doctors would say that the immune system is out of control and it's just randomly attacking the thyroid gland. I don't believe that that's necessarily always the case, and we'll talk about that, I guess, in a little bit. And if you ask the doctor, but what's causing my autoimmune condition, the answer will be it's idiopathic. We don't know. And if you say, well, what are the other options? They say, well, it could be an iodine deficiency, but if you live in the United States and you eat salt, you probably don't have an iodine deficiency. And could it be anything else? Probably not. The most common cause is autoimmunity. And the standard of treatment in medicine is to wait until you develop this glandular disease, and then we put you on thyroid hormone. And the goal is to normalize your TSH back to normal range. That's the treatment. So the person who comes in who doesn't really know anything about functional medicine, that they're not highly educated in medicine, any type of sciencey medicine, they're going to their medical doctor who they have learned to trust. The medical doctor is telling them the thyroid gland just goes bad. That's the way it goes. There's nothing you can do. You just take thyroid hormone and we normalize your TSH and then everything is fixed. Why would you as a lay person not believe that doctor? And so people are between a rock and a hard place. They're going to the person they trust. The person is telling them that this is the way it is. This is the way it's treated. And the way we know you're normal is by normalizing your TSH. Why would most people argue that point? There are people, okay, though, that don't feel well on that care. And then when they say to their medical doctor, but I still have symptoms, unfortunately, what often happens is the medical doctor looks, your TSH is normal. And so those symptoms that you're complaining of must not be thyroid symptoms, because your TSH is normal. Now, you and I know that that's not necessarily the case, but that's what the layperson is going to experience.
Okay, so then let's take us to what your research is showing and what we need to do to really understand what could be driving these symptoms that most likely are related in some degree to the thyroid not functioning optimally, or at least not releasing the right thyroid messages in the cells, and what you found to be some effective strategies.
Sure. So I think my job, whoever's trying to help somebody get healthier, especially when it comes to thyroid physiology, we have to identify, do I have a cellular hypothyroid state where the individual cells are deactivating the thyroid hormone? They're getting plenty of thyroid hormone. The cells are just deactivating it. Or do I have a glandular condition and where the gland's just not making it? Therefore, there's not enough thyroid hormone in the blood and there's not enough getting to the cells. Our job as the functional medicine practitioner has to be to identify, is there something shutting down the gland? If it is, what is it, and how do I address it? Or is it a cellular issue? And if it is, what is it and how do I address it? Or do I have really a combination of both of these things going on? And so it really can become a complex thing. What I have found in my time, 20-some years of helping people with thyroid physiology problems and spending way too many hours reading research papers, is that that thyroid physiology in most cases winds up being this spectrum disorder. So we are bombarded by stress in our lives on a daily basis, environmental toxins from the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the things we sleep on, the clothes we wear. I mean, we are just the radiation, our cell phones. You know, we are just bombarded by different stressors that can negatively impact the system. And you can think of the cells of the body as like people. And when the cell gets too stressed, the cell shifts gear in what the purpose of cellular function is. So, you know, you have all these little cells in your body, and the primary purpose is to make cells, to make tissues, to make organs, to make systems, and constantly be making energy to make enzymes and tissues and growth and development. That's the primary purpose of one of the primary purposes of the cell. The other one is defense and protection. And so if there is excessive levels of stress on the cell, one of the things that the cells instinctively do is slow down metabolism and increase cell defense. So just think about that. If you were cooking a meal for your family and friends and somebody broke into your home at gunpoint, would you continue to make your food and cook? Or would you go into defense mode? Right? I think most of us would say, hey, I would go into defense mode. The food's going to burn, right? I got more important purposes is to protect me and my family. The cells do the same thing. If there's some type of radiation damage, if there's a pathogen, a bacteria, a virus that's impacting the cell, if there's chronic inflammation, if there's excessive damage to the cell is going to go into defense mode. Metabolism slows down, inflammatory mechanisms and cell defense ramp up. That's part of a natural cell defense or a cell danger response. And what regulates that shift from increasing metabolism to increasing cell defense is thyroid hormone. So the individual cells of our body, they have the ability to regulate, either turn on more metabolism by increasing thyroid hormone or turn down their cellular metabolism by deactivating thyroid hormone. Irrelevant to how much thyroid hormone many times is in the bloodstream. So you could have 3 times the amount of thyroid hormone inside a cell, or you could have 3 times less thyroid hormone in the cell than is in the bloodstream based on what's happening inside a cell, based on what needs to happen in that cell in the tissue it's in. And so what typically starts the hypothyroid symptoms is some type of cellular stress that's become excessive. Maybe it's trauma. Maybe it's an infection. Maybe it's poor sleep. Maybe it's poor breathing patterns. Maybe it's lack of exercise. Maybe it's too much exercise. Maybe it's chronic food intolerances or food reactivity. Maybe it's toxins. I mean, there's so many things that can create and trigger what we call the cell defense. And when the cell defense becomes activated, it's a natural protective mechanism to start deactivating thyroid hormone and shift the metabolism of the cell towards cell defense. And guess what? People are going to start to feel tired, fatigued, irritable, moody, dry. They're going to start to have those things occur slowly and steadily. And they may look up on the internet and say, what are the symptoms of hypothyroidism? Man, I have a whole bunch of these. And they go to their medical doctor and say, I think I have a thyroid condition because I've read these symptoms. I have these symptoms. And when their doctor does the TSH, TSH is normal. And they're going to say, you don't have a thyroid condition because your TSH is normal. And their doctor may be correct. They may not have a thyroid gland problem in the moment, but they definitely have a shift in their thyroid physiology. But their medical doctor can't see it because they're only running the TSH. And that's where people get kind of lost in the system, because now these symptoms that they're complaining of, they've been told it's not a thyroid condition because TSH is normal. It must be because you're eating too much. It must be because you're not exercising enough. It must be because you're stressed or depressed, they'll put the blame somewhere else, when in reality, they've got this cellular stress from diet and lifestyle that's causing this cellular deactivation of thyroid hormone, triggering their hypothyroid symptoms. And if it's short-lived, the body will bounce back. The cells will turn the system back on. But as we have this buildup of cellular stress over time, and we have more and more cells starting to slow down metabolism and react, and we have this what we call chronic cell danger response going on, that chronic cell danger response initiates actions that could then trigger the autoimmune attack on the thyroid gland. And I think many times when we think about thyroid autoimmunity, we think about it as many times as a mistake of the immune system, but I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake. I think it may actually be the immune system trying to adapt to chronic cellular stress. Instead of trying to deactivate thyroid hormone in millions and trillions of cells, wouldn't it be easier just to shut down the source of thyroid hormone, to slow the source down? I usually explain it by if I had a hose and the nozzle was leaking, I could ask you to pinch the hose. You'd pinch the hose. I take the one nozzle off that's leaking. I put another nozzle on. It takes me about 30 seconds. It makes a little bit of a mess, but no big deal. But if I asked you to change the nozzle, I asked you to pinch the hose because I needed to change the nozzle. But I told you, listen, I'm going to go to Home Depot to get the nozzle. And if they don't have the one I want at Home Depot, I'm going to go to Lowe's. And if they don't have it there, I'm going to go to Ace. And I'll be back in a couple of hours. You're not going to stand there and pinch the hose. You're going to walk over and shut off the valve. You shut down the source. And I think that it makes far more sense. And there's science that shows that this may truly be the case, that when there is excessive cellular stress and there needs to be a global downregulation of thyroid physiology, the best thing to do is shut down the gland because it's not needed. And eventually, in time, that autoimmune attack drives the glandular dysfunction that we call primary hypothyroidism, which really isn't any longer primary, right? It's the end stage of the disorder, the disease, not the beginning.
Well, so as I'm listening to you, what I'm understanding, and it kind of goes back to some basic principles, when the system is under unrelenting stress, when our body is exposed to the stressors, starting with the physical stressors, you know, the toxins, environmental stressors, the EMS, the emotional stressors, nutritional toxicity, chemicals in our food, processed food. You can just go down the whole list, and we're in a constant state of stress. Just listening to the news is enough to stimulate massive cellular stress. But the system shuts down. Nothing can really thrive when our body is under unrelenting stress, and all the systems will then be compromised in one way or another, which is the bottom line story here, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's conservation of energy, right? If you had a threat, right, if there's a bacteria or a virus inside the cell, do you want to increase the metabolism of that cell? Do you want to bring more glucose in? Do you want to bring more food and fuel to that cell? What would happen? That cell is going to replicate, and the virus and the bacteria replicates with it. Instead, the body says, wait a minute, there's a threat here. Let's decrease the metabolism of the cell. Let's cut off the fuel delivery to the cell. Let's decrease the production of energy. Let's stop bringing proteins and glucose and sugar into the cell. Instead, let's shut it all down. If there's no fuel for the bacteria or the virus, it can't survive, and it has to either die or go into dormancy. The body's pretty smart. I don't think a lot of this stuff is by mistake. The problem is the cell may not know the difference between a organism threat versus a emotional or trauma threat or a electromagnetic threat the perception is still a danger signal. And so it doesn't matter what those danger signals are. The body and the cells are doing what they're designed to do, which is protective mode. So many times we look at what's happening in the body as the problem, and more of what we should do is ask the question as to why is that happening, and what do these lab values tell me? What do these symptoms tell me? And because the body is responding, we often look at what this body does as the problem versus that it's the supportive reaction to the problem, like fever, right? We look at the fever as the problem. My kid's got a fever. I'm going to give him some aspirin or Tylenol to suppress the fever, and I think I did them good. The fever was there for a reason. And by suppressing the fever, we actually inhibited the normal immune response to a bacteria, a virus, or a threat. Medicine is really good at managing those acute, treating those acute symptoms, but that's not, you can't drug somebody healthy. And I think that's one of the points you were trying to make, is we're bombarded by these stressors. The body is responding to those stressors. And one of the things we need to be careful is that we don't address the wrong thing and actually make the person more unhealthy in an attempt to make them better. Does that make sense?
Right. So here's my next question to you, because I think you explained that really well. What, and I'm sure the people listening have this question as well. Okay, Eric, what are now the important steps, action steps we need to be taking? Number one, if we're dealing with a thyroid issue, and to also prevent us from having a thyroid metabolism problem down the track.
So, the principles of trying to address thyroid physiology problems and prevent thyroid physiology problems are the same. You take a look at your life, identify what are the things that have a negative impact on the physiology, and clean those up. Look at your diet. Look at your sleeps. Look at your sleep cycles, right? Do I sleep 7 to 8 hours straight through the night uninterrupted? Do I eat high-quality food, or are you eating lots of processed food, right? Do I breathe through my mouth? Do I breathe through my nose? Do I breathe more than 16 times a minute, or do I breathe, 20 times a minute? There's a lot of factors, like what are the relationships in my life? What are the negative stressors in my life that might be impacting my health? I need to clean those up. And if you don't know what they are, then find a functional medicine practitioner to help you identify those and clean them up. If you do know what they are and you know you're not doing a good job at one of those, what I call fitness factors, then start doing it. That's how you get healthy. If you eat processed food on a daily basis, on a regular basis in high volume, and you're starting to become obese, that processed food is probably a reason why you have obesity. It's definitely probably contributing to it. So eliminate that. It's not always easy to make these changes, but most of the things that you need to do to be healthy are fairly simple. There are some people that have genetic predispositions to problems, but the genes are not the problem for the vast majority of people. It's the life, diet, and lifestyle influencers and how they impact those genetics that typically causes the issues. It is rare that you're ever going to fix somebody's thyroid physiology problem with thyroid hormone. Most of the patients that I see who come to me after years of allopathic thyroid care get better, reduce the need for many of their medications and even their thyroid prescriptions, lose weight, get their health and their vitality back, and we haven't done anything to address thyroid hormone directly by giving them thyroid hormone. What we do is we reduce the stressors, identify the stressors, eliminate or reduce them as much as possible, then support the healing and recovery of their tissues by changing diet, changing lifestyle, changing habits and behaviors, supplemental support. And when you do those things, people just get healthy. Your diet and lifestyle is what caused you, in most cases, to be unhealthy. So diet and lifestyle and environmental factors are the things that if you kind of reverse engineer them can help you get healthy as well.
So I just want to say that when I was finally diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and that's where you need a comprehensive thyroid panel. So when my patients come to me and they show me their blood work or they're going to get blood work, I tell them that you have to ask the doctor or organize it, or I can organize it, a comprehensive thyroid panel that looks at the thyroid functioning in totality, right? So we're looking at the antibodies that could be driving an autoimmune expression, or you have to look at, and I know you include reverse T3, but there's a huge, you know, more comprehensive panel on this. So what I did when I was diagnosed, instead of going on a thyroid hormone, which even my functional medicine doctor was encouraging me to do, I did exactly what you are recommending. I did a massive cleanup. I stopped eating gluten and dairy. I paid more attention to healing my digestive system. I reduced my stress. I supported the adrenal glands. I made other lifestyle changes in my life and just got into more balance, reduced a lot of the stressful things that were occurring. And that had a huge impact on getting my body back into balance and really reversing or dissolving the symptoms that were manifesting. And I've never gone on thyroid medication, and I don't need to. And it's really not an issue. I don't have any of those symptoms anymore. So I really hear what you're saying, and it's a really big message for people to understand. But you have to be committed. You have to have the discipline. You have to have the guidance to heal at that very fundamental level so you can, you know, bring your systems back online again. And that's the work, right? That's the work that's required.
Yeah, and I think the big issue is people don't realize how things that we do on a daily basis, especially the small things, how important they are in the long term to your overall health, what you think about, the mindset you have, how you breathe, how often you sleep and how long you sleep and what's the quality of that sleep and the impact of what you eat. One or two days, maybe not a big deal, but it's these habits that are done day in, day out over weeks, months, and years that create the weakness that when we are exposed to a virus allows the virus to become chronic, right? That when we're exposed to bacteria, it allows the bacteria to get a hold in our system and become chronic. When we are get in a very stressful situation, a divorce, an accident, injury, where those changes can make massive changes in our physiology. We look at those big things sometimes as the thing that created the problem, not realizing that it was all the little small things in our daily lifestyle and habit that really set the groundwork for our illness, and whether it's a thyroid issue or any illness or disease. Your foundational principles of how you live your life day in, day out, set the stage for how well you are going to adapt. We call it metabolic flexibility. If you and I or me and somebody else were going to go, somebody told us, hey, we got to go for a 10-mile hike up this mountain to save your life. Because of my daily exercise and training, I might make it all the way up there without a problem. But the person who sits at a desk, they eat lousy, they don't exercise, that hiking up a mountain shouldn't have created a crisis for them. But add the stress of it being it has to be done, and the intensity for which it needs to be done, that may be enough to create a massive crisis or a massive shift in that person's health. But it's the daily foundational stuff, which I know you discuss with your clients on your podcast, that become so important. And the beautiful thing about it being that these things have the biggest impact in our lives is these are the things that are free to work on and do, right? They don't require supplements. They don't require prescriptions. They don't require any additional money. They're just simple things you can do. And the access to many of those things is available for free on the internet.
So Eric, in the 2 minutes we have left, can you just run through a couple of those things?
Of what they can do?
Yes, just give people some idea of strategies.
Absolutely. So from a dietary standpoint, I think the simplest thing, don't get caught up in which diet's the best. Just eat more whole food on a regular basis, right? Less than 6 ingredients on the package. Eat food as close as you can get it to the way it walked the earth, swam the ocean, you know, came out of the ground or off the tree. Second thing is you got to have good, healthy breathing. Be a nasal breather. Most people don't realize they're mouth breathers. When you mouth breathe, especially at night, it creates stress on the body, creates what we call hypoxia, decreased oxygen. That's a massive stressor to the system. Change your breathing. Test your breathing. Get some books on proper breathing techniques and start doing them. If you are a terrible sleeper, or you're a person who says that they can get by on 4 hours sleep a night, you're kidding yourself. Research shows that people who get less than 6 hours of sleep every night or have less than 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep on a regular basis are the sickest people. Improve your sleep and sleep quality, okay? 4, work on your mindset. Your mindset's huge. What you think about determines the level of stress hormones in your body. If you're one of those people who is always looking at the dark side of things, you've got to change your thinking because that drives stress in the body and can dramatically change your physiology. And if I had to give you one more, it's your habits. If you want to know what's wrong with your health and well-being, just start jotting down what you do every day. What are the habits you do on a daily basis that when you really honestly look at them, you know are not there to improve your health or your well-being or your mindset? Get rid of those things. If you're spending 4 hours on Facebook or Instagram and that's not improving your health and your quality of life, drop it. If you're watching 4 hours of TV, drop it. If you're spending 6 hours playing, you know, some kind of crazy bird game on your phone, drop it. Those things aren't beneficial. Find out what habits in your life are stealing your health and robbing you of your health and replace those with healthy habits.
Well, that makes a whole lot of sense, and it's a big wake-up call because if people do not understand the importance of making those changes, their whole system is going to fail sooner or later. So, you know, what's going to show up in one pattern or another pattern, and that's why this message is so important. And I know you have a book coming out about this subject, so I look forward to seeing that book when it's fully completed.
And
thank you so much for telling the big story about the thyroid, because it is a big story, and to bring ourselves and our thyroids back into balance, we really need to understand the big story and what's driving all of these imbalances. So I really appreciate the work you're doing and your message and your passion to get this story out there and help all of us get healthy again, Eric. So thank you so much for all that you do. If people want to find out more about your work and your practice, I guess the best place to go is your website. And do you want to share your website with us?
Yeah, they can reach out to me at the website, rejuvigencenter.com. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Eric Balcavage, YouTube at Rejuvigen, Facebook at Rejuvigen Center. Instagram is probably where I do most of the posts, but they can reach out. Definitely reach out to me with questions at the website. Yeah.
Okay. And that's rejuvigencenter.com.
Yep.
Okay. We got to go. So, Eric, thanks again. Thank you, all my listeners. And we'll see you again next week. And until then, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.